and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, the king of Cuteville.
Why is that now?
Because I don't like it being Tyler Breeze. I'd rather be.
Are you jealous?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to rub with Lance Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wrestling.
All right, I'll kill her. No filler, because...
Actually, Mabel died. So there is, like, somebody was killed.
I said no killer.
Oh.
Not no kill.
Well,
you're right.
Chris Benoit.
We got a lot to talk about.
Chris Benoit. See, now you're wrong. No. Jimmy Snuka. See? Johnny K-9.
Invader 2.
Yes, Invader
2. All right. This show, though, does not feature... Any killer. It's all... No, wait. It's all filler? That's what I meant. No, wait. No. What are we going to talk about?
Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm bad.
Bad. Yes. That's actually the most accurate portrayal.
Yeah?
Yeah. We just watched a really shitty episode of NXT.
It's awful. The live show can't get here soon enough.
Next week. NXT Arrival. Yes, February 27th, yep.
Is it?
Yeah. It's got an hour lead into Impact.
Ah, there you go.
So.
Okay, all right. I don't know. I just... NXT does not have any momentum, that's for damn sure.
No, and I don't know if that's because they knew this was kind of coming or you know, with the network. And then, I mean, they did announce the network since their last...
A lot of it is just the crowd there at Full Sail University. It's been terrible.
I've been finding it's kind of a monotonous sort of... the commentary sucks. A-Train sucks. Nate Regal in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the women, you know, we talk about the women being better. Again, and with the guys, too. It's just like when I saw the main event with Adrian Neville against Tyler Breeze, it's like...
Prince Pretty, I'm okay with, but not like, the King of Cuba.
But I'm like, these guys... Again?
Yeah, I know.
Like, they never fought, probably, but it's like, oh, here's your Adrian Neville, we need your Tyler Breeze. It just seems like it's the same gaggle.
Well, theoretically,
like,
they have 60 guys under developmental contract.
Yeah.
And it feels like we've seen the same ones. And
like
especially
eight,
especially for the Divas down there, we talk about, like you say, they are better, but you see them so much, right? Like, I mean, I've seen Summer Rae against Emma on NXT alone probably four or five times.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing them also on Raw. So it's just, and SmackDown, you know, it's just, yeah, it's
a bit much.
But again, a lot of it to me is just the awful, awful crowd there. And they're probably reacting the same way. Like, we've seen this. And, you know, you go in, you take 4 hours worth of TV. Of course, it's not always going to be hot. But they've been really, really bad. So next week, the live, I mean, is Paige and Emma.
Yeah.
That is next week.
They're
going to have
an
in-ring confrontation and then have the match.
I don't know what's the deal.
Yeah. It's kind of something like that. I don't know.
And then
there's a lot of interesting... It's more... You watch it. It's more than 1 hour, right?
I think this is like a couple hours.
Because the interesting thing about it is to bring in.
It's on the network. So just go as long as you want.
I don't know if it works like that.
It does.
Does it?
Yeah, they own the fucking network. It's like, what do you do? The tape machines are rolling.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
who cares?
Yeah.
They just air it. Just keep streaming. Mm-hmm. But just don't cross the streams.
No, don't cross the streams, yeah. Unless you're against Stay Puffed.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm not in Full Sail University.
No. Mabel died, though. But I think you look at, you've got two out of three, Sami Zayn and Antonio Cesaro. You've got the ladder match, and you've got this women's match. Those are
the ladder match, Bo Dallas versus Adrian Neville for the title. You're right, in the women's match for the
title.
That's
it. That's all you got.
So is they said you're not going to be there to...
I'm sure they will have a
defend it. But, I mean, I think it's more about the fact that, I mean, it's all the people that bring it in. You bring it in, like, you know...
Shawn and Brett.
Well, that's just in the pre-show. I mean, but they're going to be there, but... I mean, you're bringing in guys currently on the roster. I think Orton might be there. I'm pretty sure. I know the Wyatts are going to be there. Shayna, I think, might have been mentioned.
Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's more of those guys. And
you're going to have some really good workers in Randy Orton there. is what you're saying.
Randy Orton's a really good worker.
He's okay.
He's really good.
He's good. He's good.
He's really good.
He's good.
He's really... Okay, let's put it... Actually, let's throw this on the table.
Huh?
Randy
That's
Orton
really
is
small.
Really good. He's a really good worker at the WWE style. Could he go to Japan and have a great match with one of the guys over there? Would he be able to adjust or work at ROH and have a great match? I'm not so sure. So I don't know if you can call him... I don't know if you can call him a great worker, because... Daniel Bryan is a great worker because he can go or enter on a Cesaro.
Yep.
A Cesaro just now. Could go anywhere and have that great match. Randy Orton can't. But at the WWE style, he's one of the five or six best in the company.
Sure, sure. Well, he's good.
So he's very good.
He's good.
WWE style, he's very, very good.
Yes, which makes him good.
No, it doesn't. He's very, very good because it's the most important style. Because they're the biggest company.
They are the biggest company. He's good.
Make your argument for him just being good.
Hmm? I don't... You know what? Actually, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to go check. He's... If we watch the monitor there as we do the show, he's having a match with Kofi Kingston right now.
And currently in a headlock?
Currently, he is in a headlock.
I miss the headlock, man. Nobody uses them anymore.
Another headlock, Randy.
Yeah. And the chinlock, you know.
He's not bad. He's just, I don't know.
He's very good.
He's good. He's good.
He's very good. You know what? He does the WWE style, which is about storytelling. His matches don't have a lot of heat at the end, but almost, or at the beginning, but always by the end.
Or in the middle?
No, usually, like this match against, on Monday against Sheamus was a perfect example, whereas at the beginning people are chanting CM Punk and chanting, you know, other things.
Yeah,
they like suplexed
him through a table, I guess, right?
The match turned around. The match got a lot of momentum and got to be very good.
Well, from the time he suplexed him through
Sheamus
the table.
Sheamus is also a good worker, a very strong worker in the WWE style, very good worker. And so, yeah, I mean, the match got to be a lot of fun, and it became a very good match. Not as good as the Cesaro... John Cena match was just, I mean, Cesaro carried the hell out of John Cena. That was very, very good. A terrific match. I mean, Cesaro looked terrific. He was always in position. He was perfect. And the thing about John Cena is he's willing to, like, he really likes Claudio, as he called him in the promo in Europe.
Yeah.
It's obvious that he respects him because he's willing to take, he gave him so much offense, and he's willing to take, like, things like that suplex from the middle rope outside into the ring.
Yeah.
Which, for John Cena on free TV, he doesn't need to take that. That's, you know, painful move, because he gets up really high, and he's not landing in the middle of the ring, or he's kind of landing on a hard part of the ring.
Yeah.
So, it's the fact that he's taking that, because he really respects Cesaro, and you can tell. So, I mean, that was made for a really good match. But that said...
Who would Randy Orton's top opponents be?
Randy Orton's top opponent?
Yeah, like who has he had really good matches?
Christian is really, like, way up there.
Yeah, Christian's really good.
Christian's even better at the WWE style than him.
Yeah.
And Christian's,
and
I think, the best.
And those were really good matches, Orton and Christian's. Remember that summer where they had three different high-profile matches, and there were three matches, all high-profile, all different.
Yeah.
All playing off each other.
All playing off each other. Yeah, exactly. They were great matches. So, yeah. I mean, he's had some terrific matches. Like, he had that great match on Raw a few weeks ago against Daniel Bryan, the one where
very good worker, Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan's not bad.
Yeah,
you know,
very good worker.
He's decent. It's true.
Very good worker. Who else has Randy Orton had a good match with? A very good match with?
Sheamus this last week.
That was okay.
Fuck you.
Didn't hold my interest, let me tell you.
You were tired. Probably drunk.
Maybe both.
Mankind? Mick Foley?
Mick Foley, yeah. Very good worker, Mick Foley.
He's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Not pretty very good. I would call Mick Foley very good.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Pretty
good. Yeah. So Randy Orton, he's good.
He's very good.
He's good.
He's had a lot of good matches with John Cena.
No, he hasn't.
Fuck you. Yes, he has.
When?
The I Quit match.
Which one was that now?
The one where he's handcuffed into the ring.
Oh, right. That one match.
Yeah.
John Cena had a good match with the Great Khali, for God's sakes. I mean, there are anomalies. You match two guys up against each other 642,000 times. The fact that you gave him an I quit stamp.
What you're saying,
they had
is
a really good match.
1,000 monkeys with 1,000 typewriters. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I wouldn't go that far because it's Black History Month. So that's just bad, Mo. I don't know where you come up with these things.
I have no idea what you just said.
If you'd like to complain,
I have no idea
allow
what you just
me to
said.
Text the first email.
I'm pretty sure it offended me, and that's me.
You're talking about 1,000 who?
Randy Orton's 1,000 matches against John Cena.
Yes,
which is about what we've seen.
Yeah, that's a conservative estimate.
Yeah. So, Randy Orton had very good matches with, good matches with Triple H, you know.
Not very good, though. I'm just saying, Orton's never done anything for me.
He had a great match against 4 or 5 months ago there, I think. Maybe 6 months ago against Cody Rhodes. It was a great, great match on Raw. It's like a 4.5-hour match.
I remember that. I think I do remember that one
being
very good. But, Orton, not a good track record.
Go fuck yourself.
Not a good track record.
How many really bad Randy Orton matches can you remember? Just awful, like one-star matches.
There was that WrestleMania main event.
Which one?
The one where they had their match against Hunter.
Yeah, that was badly put together. It wasn't a bad match.
Yeah,
because the problem was both guys hit their finisher in the first 1 minute and kicked out.
Oh yeah.
They thought that
other
would
than
work,
that, it was good.
But they thought that would work better and get more heat than they did.
Yeah. So they're
but,
bad.
It wasn't awful. It wasn't a 1-star match. It was like a 2.5-3-star match. But it was a bit disappointing. But that was. I blame that more on Hunter. Thinking that's a good idea then to do that spot. Mm. Oh, we'll both hit each other's finisher and kick out right at the beginning.
We Talk Wrestling, February 20th, 2014. Mo loves Randy.
Mo and Randy sitting in a tree.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to start typing that.
Wait. Yeah. All right. Well, you're still a person.
Speaking of people that can't work, Mabel died.
I guess he's not getting booked now.
No. No. So he doesn't need to jump on the trampoline, is what you're saying?
I don't think he was anyways. Yeah, heart attack. And who saw that coming?
Yeah.
43. Yeah.
43. I mean, you look at that then, and I mean, I knew he was young, but that means like Mabel of Men on a Mission was like 23.
He was like 23, yeah, when he debuted. He was 20. He'd only been wrestling for like 16 months, 17 months or something like that when he got signed with the WWE, which was actually probably one of the problems when he won the King of the Ring in 1994.
One of the problems.
It was 94 or 95? 95. He won the King of the Ring in 1995, and then he faced Diesel in the SummerSlam main event.
Yeah.
For the title.
Strydex presented SummerSlam.
Yeah, terrible match. And, didn't have the heat, even though he had gotten a clean win over The Undertaker during the King of the Ring tournament in order to build him up. Didn't have much.
Well,
interest.
I wouldn't call it a clean win, comma, the Supreme Fighting Machine. It's stolen the Undertaker's urn, melted it down to a necklace, and beat him with it.
I wouldn't, clean enough.
Yeah.
Because nobody beat the Undertaker in any fashion back then.
Yeah, that's true. I do remember hearing about the Harlem Knights, because Mabel was
But again, he's
100 pounds.
That match, that SummerSlam match, he's 24.
Yeah.
He's 24, and they're thinking bright future, but instead, he was, because he was so green and he was so large, and put in these matches and expected actually to go longer than he should have, also in these matches as a solo guy,
he
hurt
sat
guys.
On Undertaker's face.
He did it a few times, a few different people.
Undertaker was the big one.
The Undertaker was the big one, so after the Undertaker beat him in that feud, they released him.
Yeah.
That was kind of the thing about him. He's too green for the spot. I mean, he was only, a little more than 2 years in the business, and he's main evented SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And he's not ready. He's too green. He's not good enough.
And he's facing Diesel.
Yes, that doesn't help.
So who's also not good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, that had a really great look. You know, and he's able to get that black Mr. T mohawk really fit, you know, it was that was a good heel look for him.
He had a strong, I think when he came out back as Viscera.
Yeah, Viscera, yeah.
When he came back and he had, like, that leather jacket, you know, that kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, the overcoat deal, the big... Yeah.
Then I think he had a good look. When he's been on the mission, even after he turned heel, I just couldn't get over the...
No,
I could never get over
purple,
those the purple
no,
and all that shit.
There it is and shit, yeah.
And I do think of him, like, when I think of him, I do think of him as Viscera. When he started wrestling, when he would take off his shirt, though, and you'd see his man boobs flopping around.
As Big Daddy V.
Yeah, that did not look good.
No.
But
he definitely had a long, memorable career. I mean, he was, as I said, he won that King of the Ring. That
well, he had, I mean, he didn't work a lot of independence. Really, I mean, his career, when he wasn't in the WWE, he didn't work much.
Did some Puerto Rico stuff.
A little bit of Puerto Rico, but I mean, largely he was a guy who his success was in the WWE, and in the WWE he had three different runs.
Yep.
And a fair amount of success.
Yeah, I do.
Certainly a memorable character because of a memorable look.
And I still remember him as Mabel being like, Mabel's in the King of the Ring, or Mabel's in the Royal Rumble. And
that's right.
They got attacked by the Ministry, and that is when he became Viscera.
Yeah.
And he really was teaming with Midian as the kind of the secondary...
Behind the APA.
Behind the APA.
The Acolytes at the time.
Yeah, the Acolytes. And so it was just, they were kind of, they were there as a team, but they were basically your jobber team.
Yeah.
Is what it was. And, I mean, when he came back and fought Ken Shamrock, when Ken Shamrock mm-hmm. was fighting all the past King of the Ring winners.
Well, my favorite, I can tell you right now, my favorite moment for him was, it was the date he went on with... Trish, yeah.
Yeah.
He was very funny and very engaging, charismatic mm-hmm. in this scene where she was like, you know, he was like making the moves on her. He was the sex machine, right? He was.
Yeah, that's when he was the new sexual chocolate, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that wouldn't work, and then it did.
Mm-hmm.
And there was even a point where he sang or something like that.
I was going to say, didn't he
voice.
Sing? Yeah, he had that low singing voice. Yeah,
yeah
very
and,
white.
Yeah, yeah. And he was just very...
entertaining. That was
yeah,
probably
it was
the
very
most entertaining
when,
than
he
was.
When he was out there with Trish was out there was like, and she was using
she
him
was
for
a
protection.
Heel. Yeah.
She was, a, yeah, he was a heel too, but she was using him, she went on a date with him for protection against somebody. I can't remember who.
Yeah.
But somebody, yeah. And, you know, he came across, like I say, he wasn't what you expected. Like, he came across like, you know, I mean, really good in that role, and it turned a baby face. And, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, and then Big Daddy V and the Monster Battle Royal, and I mean, just another repackage, but I mean...
Big Daddy V was a cool name, and, Big Daddy Voodoo, when he did work some on the independents,
yeah.
he went fine, but yeah, I mean, he's, again...
Very sensitive man.
Yeah.
You don't call him fat. It hurt his feelings. Even though he was fat. Which is weird, because of the two men on a mission, people, it wasn't Mabel that I thought was fat.
It was Oscar?
Oscar, exactly. Possibly Mo. But, yeah. I mean, that was it. I remember reading about or hearing on the hotline.
Yeah, you knew it right away. You sent me a text like 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, Mabel's dead. It took me a second because I really think of him more as Viscera. It took me a second to think of him as Mabel. But then I was like, oh, okay. But it's funny because today, I mean, somebody sent me a text who used to watch wrestling but stopped.
Yeah.
And he sends me a text going, oh, Mabel died, did you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's it, right?
Well, I mean, that was being in Calgary, that was the heart of the hearts, the height of the hearts, right? Was that 94-95 period, which is where Mabel was most prevalent, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
But, exactly. Yeah, I'm just trying to think we did
the. Remember the year before in the King of the Ring, 93, he lost to
Adam Bomb. Total destruction.
I thought he lost to Jeff Jarrett.
No, you're right. It was Jeff Jarrett. It was the music against the...
hip-hop first. Yeah, he goes with a leg drop. He missed the leg drop and get rolled up.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the finish.
But I believe he
was so fat when he missed.
I believe he beat Adam Baum in the
qualifying.
In the next qualifying because it was... That's right, it was. It was that was the one that the year before. It was actually in the King of the Ring. Yeah, he lost to Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Who then?
But after the first round, lost to Jeff Jarrett, who then faced the 1-2-3 Kid.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, after the first round, lost to Jeff Jarrett, I didn't think he was gonna go very far in 1995. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then he ends up winning the whole thing.
And then because everybody in 95 was thinking Shawn Michaels should win.
Yeah.
And then it.
Well, the thing is, they actually really had quite a few stars then.
Yeah.
They were really trying to push him as a new star, but it wasn't gonna work for a lot of reasons.
No, and Razor Ramon got hurt, and you had Savio Vega doing
that
one-night story.
Another problem is you're putting him against Diesel, so you're thinking to yourself, okay, you got a 7-footer, and then we got this guy who's 6'8" and 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to be a matchup because of this bit working on the Hulk Hogan, a big man against an even bigger man thing.
Yeah.
The difference is Hulk Hogan athletically could do some impressive feats like body slam a guy, and it looked great.
But
who was 500 pounds. Kevin Nash never did some incredible feat of strength that blew you away.
And let's
his
not,
whole career. I can't think of one incredible feat of strength from Kevin Nash.
And let's not sell short the ability and experience of King Kong Bundy and the Big Boss Man and the One Man Gang.
Exactly.
And all those guys that
were Earthquake was pretty green, but he was actually much more athletic.
Yeah.
And I had a natural affinity for, you know, wrestling.
I would have thought Mabel would be more athletic than...
he wasn't.
Oh. You would think so, though.
You would.
I would. I would. But, I mean, you want to talk about that King of the Ring, and he's fighting Savio Vega in the final, and it's very popular and topical right now to be talking about how, with the CM Punks and the Daniel Bryans and the Yeses, and how crowds are hijacking shows. That was the first hijacked show that I can recall, was Mabel and Savio Vega in the final of the King of the Ring 1995 in Philadelphia, with the crowd chanting ECW.
Yes, because there was like, we just don't want this show. We have a... got purple cartoon character again who can't work against this guy who's got this lame gimmick in Savio Vega at the time.
Latin Sensation?
Yeah.
Savio Vega.
Yeah. And, yeah, they're chanting, you're right, they were chanting ECW.
Yeah.
Trying to say we want something different.
Yeah, speaking of hijack, I guess the CM Punk chants kind of calmed down a bit.
Yeah, well.
This week.
A little bit. I mean, they're still out there.
2 weeks.
We knew they would be. But, I mean, it's 3-3. In March 3rd is the night of question marks.
Yes.
Is this a work?
He's on a sabbatical.
According to Vince McMahon,
on the conference call today.
Conference call said, regarding CM Punk, all I'll say is one of our current performers is on a sabbatical. Of course, that's Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Explains why he hasn't been around.
Yes.
Yeah. Just suddenly, without any warning, without any explanation, he just wasn't on TV 1 week, and, you know, he just disappeared.
Yep.
You know, he's right there, wanting a title shot, chasing it. He's got a storyline that's built. He's in the ring with Randy Orton and Batista, and then he's just off TV. Like, it's very unprofessional.
Yeah.
But unlike, you know, happens...
Until this Monday.
And you never mention him again. That's just something, you know, I mean, it's a very unique situation.
Yes.
We wouldn't see that again. You have to see that twice in a month.
Oh, hells no.
No.
But,
so anyways, there's some subtle signs that's showing this is a work, or even if it wasn't a work at the start,
it's become one,
and then he's coming back. But there's not enough to make you know for sure that this is a work and he's coming back.
I'd like to see it, but it would surprise me if he did come back at this point.
It would surprise you?
It would, I think, now.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Lesnar going to be back next week, this Monday.
Well, the thing is, they have this loaded... I mean, obviously, we have Elimination Chamber coming up. We should probably talk about that before Monday.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, Monday, the big thing with Monday is the network launches. Hogan, Undertaker, and Lesnar are there.
And they haven't... They didn't promote it,
other than that,
I don't know what's going through their head. Why would you not be promoting these things?
They didn't promote anything. They didn't promote the network, either.
Even, you know what, in the past, the Elimination Chamber has been there, and you promoted it, but you promoted WrestleMania, and the Elimination Chamber is trying to build off WrestleMania momentum.
Yes.
This year, they're really promoting the Elimination Chamber as a standalone event. To me, it's not really, they're really not, like, I'm still looking at it, I'm going, well, you haven't really set up anything for Daniel Bryan yet that I can see from WrestleMania, or Triple H, or Sheamus or
right.
you know, like there's nothing like it's the
no.
the WrestleMania push usually
or
starts
Cena.
Or yeah, well, sort of
no.
Cena once against Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but that's, to me, that's nothing.
But they dropped it.
Dropped it like a bad
exactly.
habit. So I mean, it's nothing.
It's a
you know?
Really strange thing. Like usually, the second that you're about 2 weeks out from Royal Rumble, the WrestleMania promotion and the pieces start getting put into place, and you get
yeah.
excited. And this time, they haven't done that. I mean, they've done actually a better job than they've done in the past of promoting the actual Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. It's the Elimination Chamber. It's the Royal, you know, it's the WrestleMania. I don't know what's going on.
No.
So, again, yeah, so why would you promote Monday then, I guess? Why would you promote those three names? You're expecting a lot of buzz the day before.
What's going to do? I mean,
they should have been promoted. They should have been.
They should have. But I mean, they've already sold out the.
I guess there's a whole 7,000.
Yeah, yeah, the phenomenal 7,000 seat arena in Green Bay.
Yeah, WrestleMania Arena or something.
I don't know the Victoria Pavilion in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. And imagine that.
It'd be fucking great if they ran in a Victoria Pavilion.
It would be. What if they ran in the Corral that one house show?
That's right. Yeah.
JBL and Eddie.
Yeah,
but I mean, I just look at, I think how funny it is that you've got this secret star-studded lineup of Undertaker and Lesnar and Hogan, you know, and it's in front of 7,000 people. Just seems kind of sad.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? It'll get a great reaction probably. So I mean, it'll they get a lot of. Is that one actually in Green Bay? I thought the actual pay-per-view was in Green Bay.
No, pay-per-view is in Minnesota.
Minnesota, that's right. Yeah, and that's right. Because they're worried that Curtis Axel will get a big babyface reaction being from there.
Why
because his because of who his father and grandfather is.
Yeah, well, I don't. I mean, and even if he does, he's on the fucking pre-show, so who gives
a
shit?
I know. I agree.
I mean, didn't Dusty get trained by his by Vern? Did Dusty go through that? No, he didn't. He went through the interview, but
so,
I think he did. No. But it, I don't know. I'm looking at this chamber and even Raw. I mean, like I said, no promotion at all of the network.
No.
There are going to apparently be on Raw and Main Event and SmackDown, there's going to be, instructional videos. On how to
like
sign
there's
up.
Instructional videos on how to get your app on the Android market.
Yes. Well, these are going to replace
Play Market
the Michael Cole
or the WWE app.
They're different. They're going to replace Michael Cole telling you how to sign up, and they're also going to be on the website. There's going to be actual YouTube instructional embedded videos to show you specifically step by step how to sign up. And how to get the network on all platforms. So it's like, if you have PlayStation, click here. If you have Xbox, click here. If you have this, click here.
If you have Apple TV, use your PlayStation or your Xbox because they pay us a higher fee.
Yes. Hey, that's smart.
This is Vince McMahon sitting there going, fucking computers, what are those, pal? Hold on, let me get out my Commodore 64 here.
Commodore 64.
Oh, hold on, pal. You can order. Do they know computers can do this shit?
They have the...
create a video, buddy. Put it on that website theme we have. You can do videos on there, right?
All right.
He assumes he knows nothing about technology and about how anything works. He assumes you guys are as stupid as he is.
You know they have the internet on computers now?
Get the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
You know, the internet, it's a series of tubes.
Yes. Interconnecting tubes. But I just think that...
It's tubular.
The more that I see this network, too, like, if you're not getting the pay-per-views for $10, like, if these pay-per-views don't all become in your houses, this network sucks. Like, I was excited when this was coming.
Yes.
But then it was like, they're going to have, like, they're talking about how they're going to have thousands of hours and da-da-da.
Yeah, they went from thousands of hours to 1,500, now to 1,000.
To 1,000. But I'm also looking at, like, they had the lineup
the
today, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fine, okay. I knew they would have a lineup of shows. Fine, whatever.
Yeah, but Legends House, which we were like, couldn't wait to see. And now we've seen promos, we're like... I cannot wait to not watch this. This looks. There's a reason why they shot this around.
Right.
Everybody said, "Fuck no."
But even like, I was hoping, you know, we talked about, okay, there's 24 hours, let's figure they do 3 8-hour loops, right?
Yeah.
Fine. But it's like, they're having, it looks like they're having pretty much the same shows every day, just different versions of the shows. How long they can keep that up? And where's my, at 10 o'clock I can watch, like, Superstars from, like, 1986 and follow
yeah,
it
yeah.
all the way to the end? Can't. Stampede Wrestling, follow chronologically. Mid-South, follow chronologically. WCW,
yeah.
follow. You can't. That's what you should be able to do, is episodically
Now, will you
watch.
Be able to?
No. Well,
eventually?
Maybe.
I think you will.
Eventually, but not
but
right,
right
now.
But right now, no.
Well, if you can't. So, I mean, I'm glad. We're Canadian. We can torrent whatever we need to, whatever we want to off the thing. Looking very forward to the Hall of Fame being on a full version, being on a torrent the next day, so I can watch that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but hopefully by the time... You know, the
again, there'll be a way here, even here in Canada, to get the network.
Yeah, but
right
who wants
away.
It?
But again, exactly. I mean, it's only $10, and then the pay-per-views. That's the reason you want it.
Yeah,
that's it. That is the only reason to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right now that is it. That's all. And I said maybe they'll hopefully kind of get it worked out by, you know, by the end of this year.
Again, if you're looking, they believe that they're going to have 1 million subscribers in the U.S. alone, and they'll get to 2 to 3 million within the following year, you
mm-hmm.
know, in the U.S. alone. And if you're going to do that, you got to provide more than that. There's not that many people who care about your pay-per-view, I'm telling you. So.
No, well, that's just it. It's you're really getting the pay-per-view drive, and that's all that the network is doing. And
I mean, for me, I was excited because I was really thinking back to I was watching a Starcade, because on YouTube, you can go watch it. What Starcade do you want to watch? It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I'm watching a Starcade 87. I'm watching a Starcade 87. I'm like, I can't wait to be able to go on the network and be able to watch this or Mid-South Wrestling, but see a higher quality, because I can see anything I want already on my smart TV.
Yeah.
On YouTube, it's great, but the quality is shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all there. But the quality is shit. I'll be able to get whatever great
and it's,
quality.
It's usually
now.
In
but,
parts and stuff too, right? Depending
well, sometimes,
on.
Sometimes,
so.
Yeah, sometimes no.
Yeah,
regardless, the quality of the video is usually really, really poor because it's an old transferred copy of you know a video.
VHS,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody taped the original copy from the video store when they, you know, brought it home, and now this is a tape of that tape and you
as
know,
video.
Yeah, something
yeah.
like that. They had a lot of good wrestling videos
they did.
In place. So.
But I think again it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean if you're not gonna be able to do that, I mean Stampede Wrestling, yeah, it's on YouTube, but the quality's awful.
Yeah, it is. That's
you know?
Really awful.
Yeah.
But I mean
well,
USWA, I mean yeah, there's stuff, but and hopefully you will eventually, but it's just not right now, so it's like you got shitty shows and pay per views and it's $10 and that's
yeah.
your that's it.
That's
you
it.
Know? So
yeah. And if you don't wanna watch if you're like a lot of people and you get rid of your cable service provider, decide you can do that especially.
I wouldn't say like a lot of people, but okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's not a lot.
Oh, yes, it is. Do you work in the industry?
Yes.
No, you don't. I do. It's a lot. But the point being that...
A lot.
That... That if you're getting rid of it and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can, that's okay.
Maybe they're just switching from your cable provider.
No.
Hmm.
No.
Maybe my campaign has worked.
You're with my cable provider.
It's true.
My company I work.
Well, I'm a fan of irony. Not
and,
ironing.
But let me finish my fucking point.
I'll wear wrinkles.
You're sitting there, you're thinking,
right,
I'm just going to watch Raw on the network. Well, you're not. You're going to get a highlight package of Raw. You're going to have like a 1 hour highlight package.
The Hulu version.
Yeah.
Hour and a half.
Yeah.
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 Which
actually
is a minute. So there's a plus for the network. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you'll still get the important segments, like this segment backstage with Mangina H, or what do you call him?
Hunter Little Johnson.
Yeah.
Little
Penis, Little Johnson, Mangina H, whatever. When he's backstage and it's Triple H and Batista and Randy Orton. He's talking to Randy Orton, and Batista walks up to him, and they stare at each other. Randy Orton walks off, and then Alberto Del Rio comes up and cuts this promo while holding his neck because he's in that neck brace because he went through the tape.
Yeah.
And Batista shoves him, and he shoves him into like some nicely placed steel pipes or something like that, and they fall down. And then Triple H, good old Mangina H there with his great acting, he throws up his hands like a Batista. He's just like, oh, I can't believe. It's a very subtle acting. He doesn't say anything. He just He's so flabbergasted. Why would you do something? Ah! And I'm like, you suck balls.
Well, that's the noise that he made there.
Yeah.
As a result of him sucking balls.
And should we debut our new segment? A new weekly segment?
We have a new weekly segment?
Yeah, don't you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What is it?
Well, you're the best at these. You get to do the echo.
The Triple H nose joke of the week.
New weekly feature. The Triple H.
The first joke. The Triple H's nose is so big, it looks like a cunt.
You're an awful person. Actually, the first official Triple H nose joke of the week is...
He looks like a cunt.
Hey, what's that?
It looks like a cunt.
Oh, no. It's, hey, Triple H, it must be nice to wake up in the morning and smell the coffee. In Brazil! Yeah! Yeah! And that was the Triple H nose joke.
The Triple H?
H. Nose joke of the...
Week. That's a big nose, you know.
Okay, you want another one?
Well, his nose is Brazil, because Brazil's all the way down there.
Down where?
Down there.
Speaking of which, Scott Hall.
Hey, yo. Yes, Scott Hall, going in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Scott Hall of Fame. Yeah. Also, who needs to actually get a congressional medal? DDP.
Or Metter.
Metter, yes.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, Booker. But, yes, DDP. For getting it so that Jake the Snake...
He's getting two guys in good enough condition to go in. Oh, yeah. Good for Scott Hall, you know. I mean, it's nice. I wonder who inducts him. I think it should be Sean.
I think it should be Nash.
Sean or Nash.
Yeah, one of those guys. Someone like that. I mean, I'm trying to think of... Because you got Hogan to do... What, Mr. T? Then?
Is that confirmed?
Yeah.
Is it?
The rest of the Hall of Fame, we've already got Ultimate Warrior, Lita, and Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
The other three that are going in are Scott Hall, Mr. T, and Paul Bearer.
Okay.
So,
And Kane will induct Paul Bearer?
I would hope so.
Kane or Mick Foley?
Yeah, I would think
probably
Kane. Kane would probably. You know what would be great? If Pete Rose inducted. And then Kane could tombstone him and then do the actual induction.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. That's money.
That is money.
That's money.
And I think Roddy Piper will induct Mr. T?
No.
I do not either.
Hogan.
But then who does Warrior?
Batista?
Because he shakes them ropes.
CM Punk?
Tell me what you're going to do. Shake them ropes.
CM Punk?
Watch yourself. Yeah, could be, if he's around.
Yeah, we'll see, I don't know. He could be somebody random, I mean, who knows, maybe fucking Sheamus is a huge fan of Ultimate Warrior, and we don't know when he inducts him, like, who knows?
That's true, and then Jake, who puts Jake in, DDP?
I would think that, I could see it being one of his classic opponents, right?
Like, that's still alive.
Yeah.
Ricky Steamboat.
Like a Ricky Steamboat.
Or a Ricky Steamboat.
Ted DiBiase.
I guess there is Ted DiBiase, yeah.
Someone like that.
those are the only two.
Rick Martel.
That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, I mean...
And he could do it blindfolded.
Fuck, that would be great.
And you know what they would do? Because they would send John Laurinaitis to go find the guy to induct Jake Smith.
Yeah, bring back the ball.
And Tyler Breeze would do it.
That would be awesome.
But I look at, Kane and Puller. Jake, it would either be to me Ricky Steamboat or Ted DiBiase because everybody else is dead.
Or Rick Martel.
Maybe Martel, but Martel would be a distant third because Martel is...
Or Honky Tonk Man.
Martel, but, yeah, I guess. But, I mean, I would think that...
King Tom Bundy.
That would be excellent. The Legion of Doom.
Yeah, the original Legion of Doom.
But I just think that DiBiase is probably, to me, my most likely.
Yeah, I think he's very likely, yeah.
And Ricky, because they're both there.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just one of those things. That they're going to go far to find him. But then you've got Paul Beria, Kane, and so you got Scott Hall. Yeah, either Nash or it's one of the clique, right? Nash or Sean.
I would think those are the top two candidates.
Yeah, Kidd would be a distant third, right?
Very distant.
Yeah. I wouldn't say very distant, but distant.
I would say very distant due to the fact that we saw him last year at the Royal Rumble and the way he was shaking and his speech patterns. He looks like a guy who has Parkinson's or something like that. Like I haven't heard that, but that's how he comes across.
You know who would be great to induct Scott Hall, actually, would be Larry Zbysko.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. They've known each other since AWA. They're actually very close.
They are very close.
And, yeah.
Or Sid.
And you know what? It would be a great way to get Larry Zbysko back in the family because he's another guy who should be inducted.
Yeah. So. And he could be inducted by Bruno.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Well, before, you know, as long as Bruno's going to be with us, of course, they all outlive you and me, but, you know.
Yeah. So maybe not next year.
maybe not.
Yeah, that would be the only one. And then Warrior, yeah, it's Punk to me would be, or Christian. I mean, but they'll do Punk before Christian if he's in the company still, right?
Did Christian actually talk shit about him in that?
Said he was the fan. He was the Warrior fan, and Edge was the Hogan fan.
Okay.
Hogan. He just knew the promo word for word.
I'm just trying, yeah, because there's very few people that knew Warrior back in that era.
DiBiase's another.
That liked him enough to want to do it.
Jim Powers.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson from PW Insider could tell
it's
Ultimate Warrior.
It's strange that you don't see really, like, I'm not looking at, and by the way, and that's one thing we can say Sting, because, I mean, there was an after article on the WWE.com.
Sting behind the paint.
Yeah, and yeah. Showing that they're likely believing that he's coming in very soon. So Sting could certainly induct him.
That's true.
Or Warrior could induct Sting the following year. I mean, that's possible, too.
Both, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I look at the Warrior and, yeah, I mean, it's not a big list of people that could do him, so that could induct him.
No.
And, you know, and because it's not like, you know.
Papa Shango.
The thing is, you look at guys who, like him, and you look at them and you think, oh, look at him. You can see he influenced this guy. There's this guy who's this Warrior clone, and those guys aren't out there.
So
there's no real, I mean, the closest would be a Batista, and he didn't start watching wrestling until, so I believe, after
what
Warrior.
You're saying, the odds-on favorite to induct the Ultimate Warrior into the Hall of Fame, Mojo Rawley.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Or Mongo McMichael.
I'm hoping Mongo McMichael inducts Deborah someday.
I, you know who would be great to induct the Ultimate Warrior in the Hall of Fame? Harry Smith.
Why?
Because of the trap door.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The Fall Brawl Morphine Door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a dickhead. Let's keep that in mind.
Okay. That's true. Speaking of morphine.
Something I just thought of, because I was thinking people who could induct him.
Morphine?
And, Tronic. I was thinking people that could induct him.
They're dead. No, just
well, only one of them. Hulk Hogan's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Is Eric Bischoff far behind?
Yes.
Are
Jimmy,
you sure?
Jimmy Hart is scheduled.
I know.
I don't think so. Well, I mean, I don't think he has a major role, though.
No, I'm not saying a major role. I'm not saying he's coming back to being
creative. I don't think that he...
Would he come back to be an on-screen persona again?
No.
Possibly.
No.
Possible.
No.
More likely he would come back under one of those, just a business arrangement. You know, maybe he'd be on camera every now and then. He'd be available to induct somebody.
Who would Eric Bischoff induct?
Or be inducted? He certainly should be.
I don't know. Well, he could be inducted. I'm not in a big rush to induct him.
I'm not saying I am either. But I think if Hogan's back, that I would not be surprised to see Because, I mean, he's not like
if you're looking at Holden's backside, you're going to see Bischoff.
And the other thing is, that when Bischoff was there, he was a model employee, and he left under very good terms.
They're already bringing back Rick Martel, remember?
He left.
They only need one model.
There's only a model. And then Tyler Breeze.
Shane Bischoff.
Well.
But, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for him to
have a visit. I don't think that is either.
I don't think it's out of, honestly, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for that to happen with or without Hogan at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right, Garrett, is he still in TNA?
No.
No, okay. See, so there's that. I mean, that he could still get a developmental deal. I mean, he could work with Kevin Steen.
That's great.
Yeah.
And Kevin Steen getting in shape, and then he should be in shape, regardless of whether he's in shape or not. Kevin Steen is, when I look at
he
ROH.
He should be in shape, whether he's in shape or not.
Well, he should be there regardless.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, even not being in shape, I know that's what they want, and when you say he's not in shape, he can still do, somersault off the top rope outside of the ring.
He's not in cosmetic shape.
He's not in cosmetic shape. He's getting himself there, but
yeah.
He's not tall. You have to keep that in mind. But the thing about him is he's so awesome, and the fact that he actually doesn't have that physical look that they like actually would work, because I think make him stand out, make him unique, kind of like a little bit like a Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
But he's wicked. Like, the number one guy in ROH right now who should be in WWE and be in the main roster right now.
Congo.
Is Kevin Steen, and the number two are the rednecks. What's the
Congo?
Shit. Briscoe Brothers.
Right, Briscoes.
Yeah, the Briscoes.
Or Congo.
Hot fucking Congo.
Congo.
Yes. Those two guys. Adam Cole will probably end up there someday, and he's a great talent, but he's not, shouldn't be there now.
Right.
Not ready. Those are the guys. Like, those guys
would,
all three of those guys should be huge stars in WWE.
Just like Congo. But the nice part about this new regime and the new performance center is that they are actually giving tryouts.
Yeah.
You know, like the Wolves got a shot.
They got a shot.
Right?
Now they looked at them and said, "We already got an Eddie Edwards. Like, we already got a, we got guys like him. We got Aaron Neville, similar. They don't have a guy like Kevin Steen, and they don't have a guy like the Briscoes if they could ever get another chance.
Right?
Again.
Yeah.
Stop doing stupid tweets when they're just about to be signed.
But there's also Kenta, right?
Who?
I mean,
oh, Kenta.
So I mean, they were looking at him. They're still talking to Prince Devitt. I mean, there's still,
that's right. That's good chance Devitt signs there.
So I mean, but this is a new deal where they're open, where before they wouldn't even give him a look.
No, that's
how we're looking for. Forget it.
Yeah.
So that is good. That is good. But we were talking about morphine, and I had a segue.
Oh.
And the segue to morphine is Willow.
Who?
Willow.
Who?
Willow.
Who?
Willow the Wisp.
Who?
TNA's new star.
Who?
Fucking Jeff Hardy. Under a heavy dose of drugs. And a mask. Doing his 16-year-old Omega gimmick. Willow the Wisp.
What? Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Shit.
Jeff Hardy's back under a mask. Your most marketable star, put a mask on him.
And a different name. Willow the Wisp. Just Willow.
Well, I guess if it's for, like, 2 months, it's fine. You know?
No, it's not. It is never fine. Well, you said who's back. You know,
everybody knows, and maybe it creates a little buzz.
So Willow's coming, so that means you know who's back in TNA. You know who's back in TNA, then, if Willow's there.
Yeah. Who?
We said Jeff Hardy, but the answer is Vince Russo.
Because he brought back the old name of Booker T and called him G.I. Bro?
Yes, and Dude Love.
Yeah.
And this idea sucks, so it's Vince Russo.
We never talked about this. Toby Keith was prepared to buy TNA. Like, he had it worked out, and Jeff Jarrett was going to be his partner. They had it, so they were set to buy TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob Carter says, you can buy TNA, but there's one last thing that we need to negotiate on this deal.
Yes.
And now they've got this. He's been looking to get rid of it. He's losing money left, right, and center. So what does he say? He says to himself, okay, that's fine, but... Fuck. Sometimes I wish you guys were through with us.
Although right now it's probably not one of those times.
Well, misery loves company.
You were saying?
Bob Carter says, in order to purchase the company, though, Dixie needs to maintain her on-roll...
On-air roll. Yep.
As the face of the company, the president of the company, mm-hmm. and also needs to have some say in the decision-making process you guys are have.
Right.
And, of course, Toby Keith, Jeff Jarrett, and these guys went, we're not going to give you all this money and then be under restrictions creatively as to what we can do. Just because you want to satisfy and protect your daughter's fragile little eagle. And I'm like, Bob Carter's an idiot. Dixie Carter's an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm cheering. I'm actually cheering for them for the first time ever. I'm actually cheering for them to go out of business.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that deal fell apart because of the cunt clause.
You just ain't whistling Dixie.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's just, it was one of
those things. It's one of those things. It's like,
you
why would
buy
you do
the
that?
Company. Okay.
But we're going to dictate to you terms that you have to use afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, but no, forever you have to keep this person, right?
It's you have to keep this person who obviously doesn't know anything and is not a good performer.
Right.
Doesn't know anything about the business, is not a good performer.
Yeah.
You have to keep her on camera and let her still make the decision. Like, no, I'm giving you all this money. I fucking own it. If you,
I'll
you know
do what I want, yeah.
So Bob protects his daughter, and now he's still stuck paying this bill for this company that's losing business, that they have to pay $15,000 to an arena because they didn't draw enough money to cover the expenses, you know, because they're drawing 150 people. Even if ratings are bad right now, you cannot draw at all. If you get 300 people, it's a big show. So they're losing money every time they go on the road. They're losing money every time they do a pay-per-view. And they got one coming. And I'll tell you what.
March 9th.
They might get one slight bump in the
Cockdown.
What?
That's the pay-per-view. The cage one.
Oh, Lockdown.
Yeah.
What did you call it?
Cockdown.
Down where?
Down there. Team MVP versus Team Dixie.
No, well, they might get a slight bump because they're probably going to get more marketing from the cable companies as to the making awareness, trying to raise some awareness to pay-per-view because some networks have already dropped it. Dish Network's already dropped WWE programming and because so they won't have the same incentive with the network there to push the pay-per-views from the WWE. So they will probably get UFC and TNA. Both will probably get more marketing time from the company's internal marketing time and such. So,
yeah,
so
but
that won't hurt them.
No.
I mean,
will it
make a huge difference?
It
probably
won't make
not.
Any difference.
Same slight.
Nah.
Very.
Yeah, but you know what? It'll actually make a huge difference for TNA.
Yeah.
Because if one more person buys, that's like tripling the number of people that would buy in a market. So
that's impossible. Let me explain math to you.
Still, fucking stupid. Did you see the last interview they had that had 0.2 buys?
Are you serious? How many is that?
0.2 buys.
How many?
No, like 0.2, a fifth of a buy.
A fifth of a buy?
So we got a fifth of a buy.
Yeah.
That was the last pay-per-view they had. So that's why you triple it.
So that's 0.6 of a buy.
0.6 of a buy.
Actually, the buys are doing what they're doing, like 4,000?
I don't even
know. So if they get up to 6,000, that's a huge success.
Yeah, they won't.
Fucking losers.
But, I mean, yeah, really, that's the whole thing, is that they're just fucking losers. And, you know what, I hope to God that come September, Toby and Jeff swoop in and get the Spike deal.
I do, too. I'm serious. We're going to go out of business now.
I hope Viacom
buys WWE programming because it's available.
Yeah. Yeah, the exclusivity period is over. So, I mean, we all knew it would be. That's not a huge, you know, shocker story because it's the only way that they're going to get more rights, right?
It's looking very, very likely. I mean, as optimistic as WWE is, it's looking, though, that they're not going to get nearly what they're expecting. Is the programming just not, as much as they're saying, oh, everybody's going to want the number one show on cable. Well, number one, you're not the number one show on cable.
No.
Walking Dead is fucking killing you, as well as shows like Duck Dynasty and
Kardashians.
Actually, I think it's ahead of Kardashians, but Swamp Hunters and, you know.
All those things, yeah.
Yeah, like it's not, it's like a top 10.
Sure.
You know, sometimes it'll break into the top 5.
Mm-hmm.
And top 10, you know, I mean, it's still, but it's not valuable
To advertise. No.
When USA Network, right now, if they had lost and not had WWE programming for the year, for 2013, they still would have been the number one network.
I don't think so.
They would have been.
I don't think
so. Yeah, actually, it's a fact. they actually would have been number one regardless.
No, I don't think so.
They would have been the number one. It would have been a much smaller margin. It would have been extremely tight. They still would have been the number one network.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why would you pay out through your nose for these guys? You wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You shouldn't.
If Hunter paid out through his nose,
oh my God,
it'd be a lot of money.
That would just be like, it'd be billions.
Can I tell another Hunter triple? No, we'll save
week.
Them
next week. Yeah. Write it down.
I got a bunch of them.
But I think that
in Brazil,
nuts. But I think, yeah, they're not going to get as much as that. Their holiday was say double or whatever they were talking about, right?
No,
that's what they were talking about. But
it's not looking like there's a lot of suitors. Is the thing? It looked like there would be more, but I mean, if you have a suitor like
Gary. What? 1986 Rookie of the Year.
Ah, that's right. He had 18 goals and 50 assists that year for 68 points in 80 games.
Yep. Son Ryan, nephew Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Hell of a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
What were we talking about?
Suter.
No, it doesn't look like there's a lot of people that are interested in picking them up. I mean, if you're looking at FS1, they are a likely partner, but all of a sudden you're in 30% less homes, and your perception goes down.
Yeah.
Of how big a company you are and how important you are.
I don't think they give
and
a
you
shit
wouldn't
about
even be.
That,
I think they do.
I don't think so.
I think they care less about the money. I think they care a lot about visibility. I think the money, yeah, they want money, but they also want visibility. I don't think they're willing to sacrifice visibility for money. I also don't think they're willing to sacrifice all of a sudden not being presented like you're special. Like all the marketing, internal marketing and that stuff for FS1, if you go on there, it's going to be for the UFC. You're going to be presented as number two to the UFC constantly. They wouldn't like that. So, I mean, you take them out of there. ESPN2, you wouldn't get an ESPN. You get an ESPN2. That's not likely because, again, you're looking secondary.
Yeah.
Because you're on the secondary network.
Yeah.
Viacom,
NBC Universal, right? And then what's the other? I mean, there's a couple other.
There's a couple others, but.
But, there's nothing that's going to. I mean,
the thing is, SmackDown is more valuable to
Turner
Sci-Fi.
Doesn't want it.
Turner doesn't want it, no. SmackDown is more valuable to Sci-Fi than Raw is to USA, arguably, because Sci-Fi is like about the middle of, like, I don't know how many cable networks there are. I don't know if there's 20 or 30.
Eight. There's eight.
But they're number 15, and without their
that's
number one
pretty
show,
bad.
there's eight. They're like the 15th or 17th, I think something like, I think they're 17th highest.
Yeah, and without SmackDown,
like
it would be like 30th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're actually, you know, because that's their number one show.
Yeah. No, and that's right, and it should get moved to Tuesdays. Go live, move to Tuesdays.
That's me sneezing.
Really?
I was going to mute it, and then I realized I didn't have time, so I just took the mic away
from
my
face. You just took it. Oh, from your face.
Don't bother looking at those stats anymore.
I know.
We're more on the other site.
Who's a moron?
Triple H.
Yes.
Mangina H.
Just
I like that name.
To see,
special shout out to the Owen Hart fan.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Mm-hmm. Cassidy Ash.
Mm-hmm.
For coming up with the name.
What name?
Mangina H.
Ah.
And the idea of the Triple H nose joke of the week.
I see.
She may be on the Fuso show someday in the future, mm-hmm. I think. I think we should have that on. Well. And for telling us all the stuff we're doing wrong. We really appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah.
It was.
I know. There's
it was
a lot,
all you.
There's a lot you have to work on. If anybody knows Triple H. All right. What are we doing? Do you want to? What were we talking about?
Well, I don't know. What were we talking?
Dish Network.
Talk about the network. Talk about WWE. The WWE financials. They lost
money.
And they earned.
And they lost.
They earned like $1.8 million last year. They were like $7.6 million profits last year, and this year $1.8 million. And that's largely again, or maybe they lost $1.8 million or something like that. And last year was like $7.6 million, something like that. It's all startup costs for the network again.
Yeah.
Right. Like they know they have to do this. You got to take a hit, get the network going. So that's happening.
They are going to update network subscribers. The day
Dish Network a little bit. We talked a little bit about that.
Well, they're gonna, they are going to update network subscribers, they said, on the April 7th. So just after WrestleMania, though, they're going to update everybody on their subscribers.
Yeah.
Just trying to find out, you said 245,000 buys for the TLC?
I think it was 145.
Or, sorry, 145. That's
I think it was 145. Yeah.
145, yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot of buys for the TLC pay-per-view.
No. You know that on the SmackDown spoilers?
It was up, I think, from the previous year, but...
But not much.
A disappointment considering their promotion of the...
It was the greatest match of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
All my life.
The most important match in history.
Yeah.
So.
You know that on SmackDown, the main event of SmackDown this week is Christian against Sheamus.
I heard.
And so, trivia note for you.
Mm-hmm.
The final go-home show, the final go-home match... For a pay-per-view, it's Sheamus against Triple H, or Sheamus against Christian.
Uh-huh.
Just a trivia note for you.
Uh-huh.
So just to remember that. Who to thunk?
5-6 years from now, we'll play a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the answer to the question.
That will.
You'll remember.
I will.
You made a note of it.
Yes. I wrote it down.
I'll say, name three final go-home main events. In the history of WWE.
Yeah.
You go, well, I got one.
Well, I got one of them. It's definitely Christian against Sheamus. SmackDown.
All right. Name two more.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to name two more SmackDown main events for pay-per-view.
Wow.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, let's actually talk to Chamber.
Let's talk about Chamber, or can we talk about my countdown first, and then we can end with the Chamber?
Okay, I also got a game I created, too.
Oh, yeah,
we,
yeah.
Depending on whether or not we need it.
Too, and then the WWE what countdown, you ready for this WWE countdown
what
here?
What time is it?
I don't know.
Okay, well, look at how long we've
been going. About an hour.
We've gone about an hour. Okay, well, that's not enough time. For some podcasts, they've given you an hour. They've given you enough time. For us, we're...
Just getting warmed up. Okay, here we go. Ready for this countdown?
Yeah.
The 20 most impressive
holy shit
in WWE history.
Oh, this is going to be epic. This is like the 20 greatest steroid users.
Yes.
You might as well just read in WWE history.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see what number fucking Vince McMahon gets.
Yes. Three. I guess three. I haven't seen this yet.
You haven't seen it yet? He's number six.
Okay.
Who do you think will be number one?
Oh, number one. Luger?
No. No.
There is Batista here. There's Hunter.
Batista and Otunga are the two guys they show
that are showing right
Chris
now.
Chris Masters will be on the list, I do
higher,
believe.
Probably like 18 or so.
Yeah.
You're looking at... anyway, let's go through the Warlord.
Wait, I have to make a prediction on number one. I need
prediction?
Dave. I'm going to say Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. I'm going to stick with Lex Luger.
No, I'm switching.
Uh-oh.
Tony Atlas,
yes. I see that's a good one, too. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's see.
Number one, or number 20.
Number 20. This will be awesome.
That's Tony Storm. Well, he's natural, remember?
Well, that's exactly it. It's like they're basically saying, hey, this guy looks good despite not being a steroid user.
Yes.
So before we give you all these guys who are obviously roided up, and some of them probably already dead or close to, so in other words, Rick Rude or something like that, in case they're on there, we're going to give you somebody showing, you know, we also support
the natural. Yeah.
I mean, it was great physique for a guy who was natural.
He's a natural.
But it's not in the top 20 actual physiques in the company, is
no.
it? Christ, no.
No.
Not even close.
19.
Here we go. Countdown's on.
Dolph Ziggler. All right.
Okay, then.
All right. Number 18. Antonino Rocca. Argentina it? Antonino Rocca.
That's right, Argentina.
All right. 17.
Shelton Benjamin? They're going with a more
athletic.
Athletic look than a big look. Because otherwise you'd say Brock Lesnar's physique's more impressive than Shelton Benjamin.
Of course they showed Otunga and
Batista. Who makes you think they're going in another direction.
Disappointing list.
Yeah.
16th?
Yeah. That's fucking Phoenix. Are you shitting me?
A new mom, Beth Phoenix. Congratulations to Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Edge was such a good guy when we had a chance to talk to him at the Comic Book Expo. It was great.
Mm. Number 15.
Cody fucking Rhodes?
What? Alright. This sucks.
This is awful.
14. Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
What?
You said all killer. And this is proof. Superfly Jimmy Snuka definitely had a roided up physique.
Oh, he was roided up. Oh, yeah.
Not during this picture. This is during his return run.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he was roided up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you call him one of the most impressive, but it was impressive.
Sailor Art Thomas.
Okay. He looks kind of like Tony Atlas.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocky Johnson could be in here.
12.
Mr. McMahon.
Is number 12.
John Cena has
John
to be.
Cena's got to be on this list, too, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. McMahon.
12. Number 11?
R-Truth.
R-Truth?
There is talk, a lot of people do say R-Truth is actually natural. And so consider if that's true. I mean, I'm skeptical because I think he's like 42 and he looks
like
that.
Yeah, I was
like
going to say, he's like in his 40s, isn't he?
Yeah. But,
okay, top 10 here now. Where's Goldberg?
I don't know the
Brock Lesnar, and this is a
I don't know that Goldberg's in there. That's definitely that's his original run when he's just roided through the roof instead of human growth hormone.
Oh,
there's Goldberg.
Goldberg number 9. And that doesn't even look that impressive. That
no, I mean actually, he had a physique that I wouldn't put in the most impressive. For you know.
All right.
What are they looking for? Because there's Batista.
I don't know. There's Big Wave Dave here. Big
number 8.
Batista number 8. Let's go number 7.
Is that a recent picture?
What about Ryback Acne, too?
Oh, there we go.
There's
Rocky
Johnson.
There's Rocky Johnson.
Soul Man Rocky Johnson.
Yeah, and he's looking pretty roided up right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With, he's got the stripper stars on his nipples?
I don't know. I'm wondering if he had, did he have surgery on his tits?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. That
runs
money
in the family?
Out of his cast. Yeah. Number 6.
Uh-huh.
David Otunga.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's looking very much like you had not better have died of steroid use.
Yeah.
Or you had, because, I mean, David Otunga's, I mean, are any of these guys have a better body than, say, Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit?
Well, that's the thing, right? Then David Otunga, I mean, yeah, his career is dead, but he's still alive.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you better have be alive and be in good, fairly good terms with the company.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there's Luger, number 5.
Right. So someone he killed. So we had the person that killed, Nancy Argentina.
Yeah, the person who killed.
And the person that killed Elizabeth.
The thing about him is his body, his physique in the WWE, never.
I see the back acne in this picture.
Oh, it's unbelievable. But he was never as ripped here as he was in showed up in.
That's right.
In NWA. I mean, that's
or even at, towards the end.
Even towards
WCW,
the end, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
like way more.
Yeah.
Way more ripped than this.
Number 4.
I mean, Ryback should be on this list by, you know, The Rock.
Okay, Rock, I'll get at you.
Yeah, sure.
Ryback, you're right. What about Buff Bagwell or Big Papa Pump? That's
got to
be
Pump.
Number 1.
Big Papa Pump should be up there for sure.
And Superstar Billy Graham.
Superstar Billy Graham,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is a very flawed list. This Triple H, fuck you.
Yeah.
Go fuck you. Triple H is not in the top 50 best bodies.
Well, physique.
No, the night he came back in Madison Square Garden.
Quadruple H.
That one night.
Yeah, I know. But he's on the list the same way Vince is number 12.
Well, Vince at least is impressive for his steroid use. I mean, he has a better body than Triple H. It's not even. There's John Cena.
That's John Cena number 2 and number 1.
I still say Paul Orndorff.
Ravishing Rick Rude. Okay. So?
Find me a picture of Paul Orndorff. Like in his heyday. I'm just curious. Because, I mean, Ravishing Rick Rude, yeah, but Ultimate Warrior not on there. Very surprising.
I am too. Hogan even.
Remember the day of that pose down contest?
Yes, the Super Pose Down.
Yeah.
At the Royal
Rumble. And you were like, going into it, I was thinking his body's nowhere near as good as, that looks like it was after his surgery, was it?
Like, yeah. That one definitely is, because the arms did. The arm.
Yeah, arm is. I mean, we want to see him when he's like 1985, you know, 1986.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's
as impressive as anything we saw in there, for sure.
That is a bodybuilder. Like, that is your Mr. Olympia type shit.
Exactly. See, so I mean, yeah, I remember the Super Pose Down, thinking Rude would look much better, and then actually Warrior legitimately actually looked like as good.
Texas Tornado.
Yeah.
Oh, there's tons that didn't make. I mean, when you're looking at Lance Storm and you're looking at fucking, and stuff. I mean, it's, yeah, you're out to lunch with this stuff.
You said, type in Paul Orndorff, Paul Orndorff, Hulk Hogan.
Look at him now, look at that.
Is that him now?
That's him now.
Oh, fuck, what happened?
He's old. He's so old. I mean, isn't that nice, though, that it's Tito Santana, Road Warrior Animal, and Stu Hart all there just listening
to him. Yeah, that is what he looks like. That is frightening.
Yeah.
But, just type in, like, Paul Orndorff, Mr. T. I want to see him, or not Mr. T, Hulk Hogan. I just want to see him next to Hogan back in the day. And I actually thought Hogan's body might make it in there, too.
So did I, actually, because...
And I didn't want to say number one.
Hercules?
Hercules, you know, for sure.
There's tons of guys that...
just see if there's a good picture of him. Because that was when he was, like, just, you know...
Okay, well, here's... Look at these guys. You got Ken Patera, you got Superstar Billy Graham, you got... Orndorff and Hogan there. This is from the 87, so this 87 is the 86 run.
That's great. I was looking for the 1985. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the picture quality isn't great, but... No.
How can Tony Atlas, who was actually... Wasn't he Mr. America?
Mr. USA.
Mr. USA. How can Tony Atlas not be in the top 20?
I don't know.
Like, for Christ's sake.
But you know what?
How can fucking Ivan Putski not be in there?
Polish power, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, but Dolph Ziggler is.
Well, yeah, it's just a stupid list.
It's an awful, one of the worst lists ever.
That is actually one of the worst lists they have. Let's see the top 20 all-time debuts.
Okay. So they have the top 20 ring entrances? That's what I want to see, because I see Goldberg, and he had one of the best ring entrances.
He did have one of the best ring entrances.
For sure.
Number 20, Big Show.
Big Show. He showed up at the...
St. Valentine's Day Massacre cage match with Vince Austin.
letting Steve Austin lose the match to Vince McMahon. That was great.
Win the match.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He threw him
through the cage.
Through the cage, and Steve Austin won. But that was the great part of that match was, I mean, Austin beating the shit out of Vince.
Vince going to the table.
And Vince flipping him off like 6 times to get him back in. And he just get flipped off, going, all right, you want to tell me to fuck myself? I'm going to fuck you. You know.
Number 19, Santino Marella.
Yeah. You Intercontinental? Intercontinental Championship.
In Italy.
Sport?
Umaga.
Umaga, that's it.
In Italy.
That's right, yeah.
In Italy, Raw in Italy.
Yeah, that's right.
Number 18,
Booker T. Didn't he run in? Wasn't he one of the run-ins? For the, you know, from the rogue group from WCW?
He threw Austin through the announce table in the, I believe it was the three-way King of the Ring match with Benoit, Jericho,
and
Austin.
Yeah, came out of the crowd or something.
Came out of the crowd, around the invasion time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the WWF debut, too, I mean.
That's the thing, right?
You know. So let's
see. That's what they're talking.
Apparently.
Otherwise, I mean, Big Show debuted.
Yeah, well,
Big Show had an impressive debut, actually, in WCW. He attacked Hogan, like, that was his first thing. He attacked Hogan.
That's true. Cobo Hall.
Yeah. But then you do it. Here's
Abdullah the Butcher. So here's
in WCW.
Here's his W...
How about Cactus Jack's debut coming out of that box, wrapped up as for Sting? He was the gift for Sting, remember?
Yeah, that's right. That was his return.
Was that his return?
Yeah, it was his return. Because it was Cactus Jack Manson.
Oh, that's
and then
right.
And he left, went to world class.
He was there for a very short time.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah. So I think you could almost count that. Oh, Brock Lesnar.
Okay, yes.
The day after WrestleMania, that's all I remember about it. He was the hottest free agent on the market, they billed him as.
He came back with Heyman, but he was beating guys like Maven. No, he just came in and decimated guys having a hardcore match.
That was it, yeah.
And then he went against the Hardys.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
15.
The Great Khali.
I don't even remember how the Great Khali made his debut.
I remember he beat down Undertaker.
April 7th, 2006 of SmackDown. Khali went. He
beat down the Undertaker.
Yeah, Undertaker's belt with Mark Henry. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Also, the Yeti. 14 is Vader.
That was at the Rumble.
No, at the Great American Bash.
They talked about the original one.
Against the Z-Man.
Of course he has, because he's got the mask. I fucking love that gimmick.
Yeah, that samurai thing was cool.
It was awesome. Put it in the middle of the ring. Kind of worship it a little bit.
Yeah, and shoot off the smoke or whatever came out of it.
I love that. I wish they had never dropped that.
No, I know. That was cool.
Yeah.
Goldberg, 13. Not really.
The original Goldberg one was nothing special.
I was going to say, it was nothing at all.
He had no music even.
Yeah.
He just, he beat a guy who was a jobber.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio, this is the one on Raw where he jumped off the cage.
Well, that's the video here, but that wasn't his debut.
But I think it might be the debut they're talking about.
No, he beat Chavo on SmackDown was his debut.
Oh, that's right. The jumping off the cage was the following week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against the Un-Americans.
That's right. So which debut is this, then, they're talking about?
They're saying here, although he did not take part in the Invasion, Ultimate Underdog made a huge impact when he went to WWE.
Okay,
competed.
Sometimes you're talking about their debuts in WCW, and sometimes you're talking about in WWE. So technically, you could have the same guy on the list twice.
Yeah, this list sucks. Oh, the top 50 good guys.
Okay, we'll get to that next.
Okay.
My game will save for next week.
Okay. Yes, okay.
Elimination Chamber will go at the end.
Yes.
I had two games actually prepared. Actually, okay. And one of them is a two-parter, two-week thing. So. We're good for a while.
Yeah, we got shit.
Yeah. We got some Twitter fucking questions.
Number 11?
Twitter and email questions we keep on talking about, and we got a backload of that
shit.
We do
know, okay. So we may have to do that. But the number 11?
Yeah.
That's Sabu.
That's Sabu. Which debut was this?
I don't know. ECW debut.
Okay. I don't remember at all.
I don't know either. Number 10. Eric Bischoff.
That was certainly memorable.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was memorable. His Raw debut. Number 9, Undertaker, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Survivor Series.
Yeah. 8, Taz, also very good.
Yeah, terrific debut. The mood is about to change. Shockmaster!
Shockmaster.
Well, infamous, it's certainly memorable.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Fred. That's Uncle Fred. Number 6.
The fellow in his arse. They fell in a spookin' arse.
The Wyatt family.
No.
No, yeah, it doesn't make
no
sense to me.
No. Not when they're chanting, what were they chanting his name again?
Husky Harris.
Husky Harris, that's right, yeah. And nobody will chant that now, but. The Nexus, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
That was
definitely
fucking great.
That was great.
I mean, they weren't really debuting, but they were as a unit, right?
Yeah, exactly. John Cena, and I have Ruthless Aggression. Yeah.
Yeah.
Decent enough debut. I don't think it's all right. It's not number 4.
No, but.
Okay, Scott Hall.
In WCW.
Yes. You people, you know who
How
I am.
How is that not number 1?
But you
How do you
don't
top that?
Know why I'm here. Yeah, that's, to me, that's number 1. It's got to be number 1. Who else is there? Number 2. Jericho.
Well, Jericho's was great.
That was. That,
but I would
to
not
me,
put,
is number 2.
That would be number 2 behind number 1,
so
Scott Hall.
Scott Hall. So who is, did they say, is number 1?
Triple H, I'm sure, in some way. Everything since comes back to Triple H with Vince McMahon, doesn't it?
Yeah. Diesel?
No. No, I mean, it's Scott Hall should be
number
1.
I can't think of Kane. Okay, Kane I would put number 3.
I'd probably put it behind Nexus. I mean, I'd have it up there, though.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming. It was just, and it was a good way to do it in the Hell in a Cell.
That's gotta be Kane.
Yeah. Ground
That's
Zero was that?
Gotta be Kane. Bad Blood.
Bad Blood.
Day after Brian Pillman died.
That's right. Because it was Yeah, that's right.
The first ever Hell in the Cell.
Yeah. That,
Brett and...
Ground Zero was the month before.
Ground Zero was the September.
Yeah.
Yeah, where Brett fought the Patriot.
Yeah.
And then this one was Brett and Bulldog against Patriot and Vader in a flag match.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Why wasn't Pat Patterson in it?
Hmm?
Oh, you said flag.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a pole involved, though.
Vince Russo was there already.
Top 50 good guys. Here we go. Who would you say is the 50th best good guy?
50th best good guy?
Yeah.
Well, what's the criteria?
I like how they already give you the option to jump ahead to 35.
Wait a second. But what's the criteria? When you say best good guys, you mean actually most likable good guys? Like good guys that work, like drew money at it? Or do you mean good guys that is like, they were so good they would never do anything wrong? They're just like the most good?
Yeah, so Ricky Steamboat's number one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what's the criteria?
We'll find out. So
I'm predicting John Cena is number one.
Yeah, that's true. And Rey Mysterio is up there.
Yeah.
Also, they have the top 50 villains.
Okay, that's more interesting.
Yeah, you want to do that one instead?
No, let's do both.
Okay. Number 50.
We got another 20 minutes to fill.
Just
and then we got 15 minutes. We'll be fine. DDP?
DDP.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this.
You think next time you interview him, you'll mention this?
Number 50. Top good guy on WWE.com. That's right up there with 1997. PWI match of the feud of the year with Randy Savage. That same year, okay, the same year that Bret Hart and Steve Austin had their feud, okay? Says something right there.
That's awesome.
Not your mama's good guy. I did like the best part about when DDP was on Raw, that whatever that was, old school Raw, and I mentioned the producer. I said, DDP was on Raw. She said, was he doing yoga? I said, yes, actually, he was.
He actually was.
All right, let's see who the number 49 good guy is. Rocky Johnson, soul man Rocky Johnson.
Sure.
Sure. Number 48.
Really, this will only get interesting in the top 15 or so.
Yeah. Bullet Bob Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Dusty's got to be up there.
Trish Stratus.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I guess. Makes sense.
I don't know. She was a good heel, too.
She was, but...
I don't know. If you're good at one, can you be good at both?
Danny Hodge!
Proving WWE actually knows he exists.
Well, the people on their website...
Future Hall of Famer?
No.
Nope. Should be.
Although, you know who wrote this? Jim Ross.
Seriously?
Jim Ross.
Oh, wow.
We want to put Danny Hodge on the list, but we don't know anything about him. Somebody told me he was good. Number 45. Tommy Dreamer. Yes, Tommy Dreamer is a better good guy than Danny Hodge.
Tommy Dreamer actually was a good guy, though.
He was. He was. Then he never was a bad guy, was he?
I don't think so.
I guess
so.
It was the invasion type.
Sort of. I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
Then he drank from toilets.
That was awesome, too.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro Morales. Sure.
All right. I'm with you here. Yeah, I think we've got a bunch of...
Bunch of guys I'd have on the list.
Kofi Kingston.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you? I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy.
Okay.
He's never been anything but. He's very likable.
Here's your steroid list.
Yeah, no shit.
So Kofi Kingston, though. Let's put it this way. Kofi Kingston is a better good guy, okay, than the first guy to ever hold the Tag Team Intercontinental and WWF Championships.
Yes.
No.
Read the list, dummy.
Oh, yeah. Polish Power, number 42.
Yeah, he was a very good guy again. Tommy Rich, excellent good guy.
My boy.
Horrible bad guy when he became one.
But his booker was also in that Bad Blood tag match.
Mm. Good point.
Yeah.
The flag match.
The flag match.
Like this.
Flag match. Oh, And seriously, right now, Wildfire Tommy Rich, number 41.
He's a great good guy.
And great good guy.
There he is with the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
NWA World Championship. Actually, going right now on eBay is the bowl that he used to cut his hair.
Hey, look, he was the most popular wrestler in the country,
yeah,
and had a lot of female fans.
Yeah.
And amazing to see when you look at it, but it's true. Lex Luger.
Lex
Punch and Duggan needs to be on this list. High.
Yeah. Well, when he's traveling with Sheiky.
That's Iranian tobacco.
Excellent. The man made in the USA.
I thought he was a shitty good guy.
I did too, actually.
He's a better bad guy.
Yeah. Not better than Pedro Morales.
Fuck no.
No.
Or Kofi Kingston.
It's true. Wahoo McDaniel.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I'm good with Wahoo. And Wahoo, actually, if anything, may deserve to be higher on this list.
I
mean,
see that.
When you had the chance.
I need to see the rest of the list.
But I mean, Wahoo McDaniel, I mean, Ric Flair tells the exaggerated story about how they had to trade Wahoo McDaniel in the New York Jets because they got Broadway Joe Namath in. And you couldn't have two guys. They were clashing, right? I mean, again, that's bullshit. But
Well,
the one thing about Wahoo McDaniel,
Did I start the Ric Flair bullshit of the week? Have we got that
we
many
do,
weeks
we
to
do,
go?
I don't think so. The one thing that Wahoo McDaniel did know how to do more better than Joe Namath, flip a coin. I said that too when I was watching the Super Bowl. There's Joe Namath looking just like Ric Flair, eh? Because he had that big coat, and then he goes and flips the thing. I'm like, he is Ric Flair.
I'd like to see him playing
38
musical chairs.
Eddie Guerrero
again, but he was such a great bad guy too.
Yeah, but he was a great baby face.
Oh, I loved him, yeah. Loved him as a baby face.
37.
He was great. Antonio Rocca.
Argentina Rocca.
Thank you.
Same picture as before, by the way.
I think you're
Here's
right.
Here's our picture that we have of Antonio Rocca. Anytime you use him, put this picture up, and only this picture, pal. Number 36. Mr. Wrestling 2, Tim Woods.
Sure. Also a good bad guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the knee lift, right?
Yeah.
When he turned on Magnum TA.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
In Mid-South. And the fact that, remember when he did the knee lift to the concrete? Awful sketch.
Yes.
But hilarious.
Yes.
35. Jerry the King Lawler.
I could see him being higher.
Yeah. Yeah,
and in Memphis, he was, you know, the ideal good guy.
He was, exactly. Here he is about to kiss Terry Funk.
Who's one of the ideal bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without question. Okay, let's go to 34. El Rebo!
Yeah, good with that.
Chico Santana, I'm very much good with that.
Yeah, very good guy.
You know, he was a very good guy. Also, a good taco salesman.
But not really good at stretching.
No, not a stretcher. Not a stretcher. Just, you know, easily injured.
Easily injured.
Vern Gagne. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, sure.
Well, just as Jerry Lawler is to Memphis, Vern Gagne is to Minnesota, right? So,
yeah.
Minnesota. Rob Van Dam. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd do that. And Matt Hardy for that should be on his list. But the Hardy boys for that. Jeff
for sure.
Hardy, definitely.
For sure. RVD still talking about coming back before WrestleMania, but I doubt it.
But not going to.
No.
Not going to. Who is he? Who is that?
It
says RD on his thing, and he's black wearing purple.
I was thinking it was Nunzio, but
no,
it's not.
Who's that? Okay, you got R. You got this is him and oh, that's Rene Dupree. He's not black. He's tanned.
Rene Dupree's body could be in the top 20.
Dupree
and Sylvain Garnier.
Sylvain Garnier when he did the model gimmick.
Yeah. Could have been in the top 20.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Or he could have been in the flag match.
He could have. Chief J Strongbow is a better. See, so now we know how we rank our Indians. Strongbow better than Wahoo.
War dance.
Uh huh. That's what it is. It's the stylisticness of the war
and
dance.
They're our Aboriginal people. They're not our Indians.
Hmm? What? We're not in Australia.
Native Canadians, we may call them here.
No, he's an American, so he's an Indian.
Native Americans. Oh, good point. He's an Indian.
He's an Indian. Number 30.
First Nation.
Jack Briscoe. He's an Indian, too.
He's also First Nation.
So we've got our three. Yeah. We've got our Indian regs. Briscoe is better than Wahoo. Is better than Strongbow.
Yes, he's so far our top First Nation performer.
He is our top Indian.
I can't control you.
Hmm?
I can't. Cannot control you. I can't.
Ah, Hacksaw.
Higher.
Oh, 29? I don't know about that.
Higher. Top 15, top 20.
We'll see how the rest of the list plays out, but no. I'm okay with this.
Hacksaw is such an unbelievable good guy.
Well, yes, but I'm on... And never went heel, right?
What's that?
Never went heel.
Not after... I mean, he started his career as a heel.
I guess
once he turned, he was...
Okay, 28 is...
Let's see.
Bob Backlund. That needs to be. No, I guess he did go with
that. That's about right.
That is about right.
I'd say that's about right.
It's a great face he's got there.
Yeah.
In that picture. All right, 27. Mel Mascaris, just ask him. You know the best part about him is a baby face is that the heels never got to him. And he's wearing a mask, so we don't know if he's the top Indian. All right, number 26, the Road Warriors.
Interesting.
That is interesting because they were heels.
Yeah, they're great heels.
But
they're also some great baby faces.
They
were just such a great.
I think that's
team.
What you're going to find is a lot of these great performers like Eddie Guerrero and stuff are great at both ends, right?
Yeah, exactly.
25 here. We're halfway through the list at number 25. We're getting Bobo Brazil with the Coco
terrific.
Butt. Yes,
yep,
that
terrific.
Is very
good with that.
I'm all right with that. 24 now. Shawn Michaels.
That's about right.
Yeah, that's probably...
That's about where
my sister would have a problem with that, but...
Yeah, well, she'd like to fuck him.
Yes, that's true.
So, even... Probably not if she had met him at the Royal Rumble like we did.
Yeah, I think so, still.
You think?
She's pretty easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've heard that about members of your family.
23,
unless
the
she
Crusher
your mom.
And the Bruiser.
Oh. That seems low, actually.
Well, there again...
Territorial stars.
Territorial
right?
baby faces that, what are they? They're Milwaukee,
so big,
right? They're Milwaukee, yeah.
So huge there, though.
Yeah. The Superfly brother.
Who's also a great heel, though, at one point. The Superfly was when he turned face.
Oh,
great
yeah.
Face.
When he, as soon as he went baby face, like, I can't think of a single family that doesn't like him. Number 21, Blackjack. Goldberg. Yeah?
Yeah, that's about right.
That's about right. I'd probably have him in the top 20, but not, I mean, it's a 19 versus 21 is probably whatever.
Yeah. No, I'm no problem with him there.
No?
The only problem I really have so far is Hacksaw. I can't see any of these guys being, like, I'd have Hacksaw higher than Goldberg, you know? I mean,
I probably would, too. Yeah. Mankind.
Sure.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, if you should call him Mick Foley instead of Mankind, because really the baby face was Mick Foley.
That's true.
But there was some Mankind there at the early.
Mankind, the early title run, like him here, right, in this picture.
But even at that point, I think people were starting to think of him as Mick Foley.
Mrs. Foley's baby boy.
Yeah.
After the
Foley
interview.
Foley is God and stuff like that.
After the interview he did with Ross, right, that's where it became. Yeah. But number 19, wow. The Macho Man Randy Savage.
Sure.
I would have him.
Well, I mean, he's such a great heel that I think it's so much better even than his babyface. He's great both ways, though.
But he is, and I'd have him higher on the list, I think, a little bit. Fine. Maybe not.
Again, I would not have him ahead of. Well, here's one.
I wouldn't have him higher than Magnum TA. Macho Man Randy Savage, I would have him. Ahead of Magnum TA.
I think Magnum's about perfect there.
I do too, but I'd have Macho Man Randy Savage ahead of him.
I don't know. I think of them about Hacksaw I'd have ahead of all of them so far.
Yeah. Yeah. There you are, folks. The top babyface of all time, according to Mo, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Well, it's not babyface, the top good guy. That's different. Just a guy who, he's just a good guy.
Yeah.
Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior.
Please. He's such a fucking prick.
What a great guy.
What a prick.
You know, he doesn't know, he didn't approve of that tag team match at Bad Blood.
No. That tag team match does not make the world go around.
The world work.
Those flag matches do not make the world go around.
They do not. Number, where are we on here? 16, Jeff Hardy. Okay.
Sure, okay, good. I'm glad they don't forget him there.
So you're okay, you're against the Warrior because he's a prick. But you're not against Jeff Hardy.
He's a fuck-up. He's not a prick.
Are you kidding? He pricks himself all the time. He pricked himself before a main event of a TNA pay-per-view.
He's a fuck-up.
Yeah.
He's not an...
But he's a babyface. But as a babyface, his crowd reaction go. That's what I was basing this on, kind of thing, right? Yeah.
Crowd reaction go.
Yeah. Wow.
Andre could have been higher.
He should have been higher, yeah. Now, this is my benchmark now. Who's a better good guy than Andre?
Than Andre, yeah.
Andre the Giant, right?
Exactly. Because you have to remember Andre in, like, 1980.
Oh,
like 1975.
70s. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have to remember what a special attraction he was and
not
what a
the
good
late
guy.
80s Andre, you know?
No, not that. Don't
and
think
it
about
really,
it.
And really, that was only a 3-year run.
It really was.
Right? Yeah. And so...
Yeah. It's just memorable.
It is. Yeah. But, all right, let's go to 14. Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express. That, I think, should be a bit higher. I think that's too low for the Rock and Roll Express.
They were a great babyface tag team. Like,
they
arguably
were
the best
probably
ever.
Probably the best babyface tag team, yeah.
Arguably, yeah.
One of them, yeah.
But higher than Andre.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I mean, so, but these two. The
but
two
it's about that level, though.
Yeah, they're together. But they should be up higher together, I think. But who knows? We'll see what we get next. I mean, maybe...
Maybe,
JVD.
Terrific baby face, but I mean, I wouldn't have him in the top 25.
Oh, I definitely would.
I would have him about number 25.
I would definitely have him in that...
The junk food dog?
Not the junk food dog, but the junk at his peak, though. I mean, it's the same way you wouldn't have babyface Andre the Giant from 1993.
Yeah, I guess.
Right, helping Davey Boy Smith win the coveted Samovar Trophy in the Royal Open Hall.
Yes.
Number 12. The Undertaker.
Sure, that's about right.
Yeah, because he was a bad guy too, right?
No, that's about right.
Number 11. Where's Brett on this list?
He's top 10, because the Von Erichs has a family.
Yeah.
Are there, and I, again, have no problem with that.
Fritz, what a baby face.
Wow.
You know, the thing with all of the kids, though, I mean, is sad as it is, they were great baby faces, you know. And that's a shoot. Number 10, Rey
that
Mysterio.
That joke to me kind of crashed and burned.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did it? Oh. Yeah. Rey Mysterio.
Sure.
I wasn't talking about Nick Hogan. Number 10. Yeah, that's right. Still no Cena yet. Number 9.
About Eddie Guerrero?
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Yeah.
Not high enough.
Not definitely not high enough. I mean,
not high enough.
When the blueprint of a babyface wrestler now consists of don't take more than 5 moves in a row.
Yeah.
Is the Ricky Steamboat rule. Like, that's number 9.
The only reason I could say that he's good there is because when he was a babyface upon babyface family man coming out with his kid, the crowd was cheering for the heel Ric Flair.
Yes. Well, yes. But he still was a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Babyface, right? So, yeah.
So, I mean, but that's why I think it might be the right place.
He might
I mean,
be. Well,
but I could probably put him up a couple more.
I would put Andre in the Rock and Roll.
Certainly
higher
wouldn't
than
have,
him.
I would. John Cena's higher than him, and I would not fucking do that. So...
Well, no, but I would do the Ricky and Robert and Andre higher than
Ricky
Steamboat,
I'd
right?
Agree.
So, number 8.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah. There's Austin on here.
Of course he is.
I mean, there
top
you go.
Four.
Yeah. So,
top three.
And Hogan, I mean, it's obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but there's Bret Hart, too. I mean, Bret Hart actually.
Is Roddy Piper on here?
No. No, not, no, not anymore.
Be.
But not now.
Yeah.
Not
I don't know.
His babyface run was quite not very memorable.
Oh, I don't know. I disagree.
I don't know. What did he do? He retired against Adonis.
And arguably more over than Hogan in that night.
Yeah, but he retired it with Adonis. He came back.
Every time he came back, he was huge. Huge baby face. He came back multiple times.
He was definitely a baby, but not at this, like, top, maybe, okay, I'll give you 10. I'll give you 11. But number 7? Well, it's here. Okay, here's The Rock. Then, yeah, okay.
Okay.
7? The Megan Dream, baby.
I'm good with that.
I'm very good with that. 6? There's Bret Hart.
There's Bret Hart, yeah. As a good guy, he was. Look at that look on Luger's face of fucking jealousy.
Yeah.
That is. You're supposed to be celebrating with him. You're both baby faces. So the settings
this is Mania 10.
Fucking should have been mine.
This is Mania 10. Yeah, he had a better look on his face than Owen did.
Yeah.
It's
the same look Owen was supposed to have.
Yeah. Number 5. Sting. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You know. Well, you know, and he's such a good baby. I mean, he did this. He did that.
There's a man.
He's called Sting. Called Sting. Number 5, okay, and again, never a heel, right?
No, not
really until Russo fucked around. But
no,
I mean,
and also,
really.
I mean, you don't consider the his early days. You don't.
No, that's right.
Count
no,
that
no,
as,
yeah.
Like, before NWA.
Oh. Who's left at number 4?
Hogan, Austin,
Cena. Okay, good.
Okay,
Cena number 4.
Bullshit, but hey.
Well, yeah, but if they're gonna do this,
he should be about number 30.
Yeah,
Austin probably
3.
Should be about number.
So you got Hogan at number 1. Who's number 2?
Austin's tough because he was never an anti-hero.
Who's number 2? And someone's screaming in their computer now. Well, who's number 1 then?
Bruno.
Oh, yeah, Bruno, right. All right, yeah. And when did this come out? About the last year? I don't know.
Probably something like that, yeah.
Number 2. Hulk Hogan.
Number
1, Bruno de Sammartino. Yeah. There you go, see?
And we're right on that. So, okay, go to the top 50 villains.
Okay. Oops.
Who is sports entertainment's greatest good guy? Oh, we get to vote.
Well, we could vote if we wanted. We're not going to.
No.
I was trying to
go to the top 50 villains.
I'm trying.
Well, we could save it for the next show, because I think we've gone long enough.
Have we gone long enough?
Yeah, what time is it? How long has this gone? Yeah, hour and 43?
Yeah,
we're good.
All right.
Let's save it for the next
one. Cliffhangers.
Cliffhangers.
We still have to talk
villains.
About the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
Exactly. Top 50 villains. Elimination Chamber villains. Yeah, let's start with the lowest match on the card.
Ryback, Axel, against the Rhodes Brothers is the pre-show match.
Yeah, so probably a 2.5-star match that gets about 8 minutes, including a commercial break. And the gold dust, the Rhodes Brothers get a win for once. Because they're not winning much lately.
No, that's true.
So there you go. Okay. And, you know, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, who gives a fuck? Speaking of who gives a fuck.
Hot tag team action.
Hot and heavy in the world.
According to that match, not hot and heavy.
But you got 2 tag matches at least.
At least there are 2 teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Batista against Alberto Del Rio, speaking of who gives a fuck. Batista obviously squishes him.
Yeah, about 6 minutes, 7 minutes, Batista wins.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Alberto Del Rio doesn't turn into a shoot, because if he does, he'd accidentally win.
Yeah.
In a real fight, he'd kick the shit out of Batista.
Yes. Tits in your face, O'Neil.
Titus.
Oh. Ironically, against Darren Young. So.
So Titus O'Neil wins.
Yeah. Titus wins, whatever.
The interesting thing will be the crowd reaction.
None.
Well, that's exactly it. How little will they get? Where are they positioned on the show?
Opening.
Do they allow Titus to cut a promo to try and get some heat?
No. Well, maybe, but who cares?
And do people accidentally cheer Titus instead?
Well, I think people might, because.
And how good is a because I'm actually impressed with Darren Young as a babyface. I think he shows a nice babyface performer, like a very natural affinity. As soon as they turned and he was able to wrestle more babyface.
Is he naturally effeminate?
Affinity.
Oh, Affinity. Sorry, didn't hear you.
Well, maybe a little of A and a little B, but still.
A little what? Anal?
What?
He's an ass pirate.
Remember how great he was in that flag match back in 1998?
Yes! 97.
1997, my mistake.
Yeah. But Intercontinental
flag match.
Jack Swagger against Big E.
I like the way they promoted this.
Langston.
I like the way they promoted this. I mean, Langston did lose to...
Langston.
Or Swagger did lose this week to Daniel Bryan on SmackDown going into this, so that's kind of like
Langston.
Big E.
Langston.
No Langston anymore.
Langston.
Flagman.
Yes. Langston.
But I think both guys have been positioned strong, and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be Langston will win, but yeah. It's kind of I think it's actually being promoted for what it is fairly well. They've actually made it seem like both guys have a reason to want the belt. Like, the belt's sort of important.
Yeah.
Like, Swagger is like, oh, shit, I got to get this because Cesaro's in that elimination chamber.
Exactly, and, yeah. You've got to keep up with the Joneses. Yeah, exactly.
So there's actually a little there, so.
That's not good. Bad. Yeah, that's
it'd probably be pretty decent. Swagger's, again, a very good worker.
Yes.
Langston has a lot of potential.
Swagger, very good worker.
Very good.
Very good. But then you get the tag team champions, the New Age Outlaws, against the Usos. It's time for a title change here.
I think you get the title change at WrestleMania probably in a four-way or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think it's a controversial ending.
The Usos win by disqualification or something?
Something like that. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What else we got here? The Shield and the Wyatt family, the match of the night.
Yeah, this is the real main event.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's on Elimination Chamber. It's called the Elimination Chamber. It has the gimmick, has a little star power. This is the real main event.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious that the Wyatts and me are going to win.
They have to, yeah.
It's just kind of a matter of how they get there with the Shield. And how do they split them up? Do they split them up? Is it just a fuck-up leading to a match? Like, what's the storyline here? I don't know. Because I really don't know. It's looking to me like they could very well see a three-way.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania between the Shield.
I say Seth Rollins takes the pin then. So
it's
then
possible.
They both have a reason to be pissed at Rollins. Because right now Rollins is keeping the peace.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So if they need to give a reason to be pissed at Rollins then and do a three-way for the U.S. title at the Mega Shield Explodes at WrestleMania, then, yeah. That's
the thing about this match is it would be more interesting as a Texas Tornado match, you know? If it was all six, like actually one-on-one
you mean a
between
shoot.
Them. A shoe-in?
A shoot.
Oh, a shoot. Oh.
It's a Texas Tornado match.
Yeah. A shoe-in.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Drugs.
You said shoot.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it would be more interesting to have all of them in the ring kind of at the same time. But
yeah.
I think just because of the kind of the personalities, but yeah. It's all right. Yeah, I mean, it should be very good. It'll get a lot of time.
Should, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the match where you get a lot of time with the Wyatts because you've got, you got Ambrose and Rollins, really, who can really go and carry the load, right? I mean, Roman Reigns isn't that great of a worker, but Rollins and Ambrose are. So
yeah.
If anybody's going to be able to get some stuff out of the Harpers and Rowans,
Wyatt is showing improvement in Harper's also very good.
Yeah.
Rowan is the one who's
but still.
A little weaker. But, yeah, I mean, it should go for quite a long time. And because you'll be able to get people making tags and different personalities interacting, you'll be able to stretch it out. And let's face it, this isn't an awful lot of cards. I mean, I think when they time it out, they might add Santino and Emma versus Summer Rae and Fandango. So.
Yeah.
I can see that. Because that's the only other thing that's kind of being built up as an issue.
Six matches on the show, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Elimination Chamber is going to go, it's 20 minutes between all the pods.
It'll be about 45 minutes, right?
Well, it's 20 minutes between all the pods opening, plus you got the entrances, and, you know, so yeah, probably the whole thing you book about 45 minutes, I would say.
So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm looking at it, and we talked a little bit about the Elimination Chamber last week. I'm still thinking, I mean, if you're going to do it, the Wyatts
Cena, will screw Cena.
Right, to keep that going. Hunter, I could see a situation, especially after this week's Raw, we talked about the pod not opening for Bryan, but I could see a situation where, like, there's a ref stoppage that Bryan is unable to continue after something because they're working on his arm and his shoulder.
So Armstrong's going to be the ref?
Yeah, very well could be. Yeah. Very well could be.
Dave's just, I don't understand at all with Stefani. I mean, she wasn't even there this last week. Then you got Mangina H, who's sitting there. Like, they were heels. They're heels. Then they're just sort of just tweeners.
No, they're heels. It's a swerve.
Well, it's been a long time then.
He's saying he could see Daniel Bryan is the face of the company and blah, blah, blah.
It's not even about that.
Lower the guard.
It's about every action they've been doing.
Well, yes, but you see.
For months on every show.
But that continuity is so important.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're so good at that.
If you're going to go all the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would go with, personally, that leaves you like, Cena's fucked by the Wyatts. Bryan's fucked by Hunter. Orton wins. So that leaves you Christian to get eliminated first. And then it's either Sheamus or Cesaro. Personally, I would have Cesaro beat Sheamus. Personally, I'd have Cesaro get...
I mean, it'll be Orton versus Bryan at the end.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think Bryan...
So it'll be Sheamus versus Orton at the end.
Yeah, it should be Cesaro versus Orton, I think.
It won't be.
I know, but it will be Sheamus, you're right. But I think it should be Cesaro. Cesaro getting... I would give Cesaro the four pins, or all four. And
you would, because you would push him to the moon.
Yeah,
I thought
and have Hunter
do
it. No, exactly. And so it'll be, yeah, a hodgepodge. But, yeah, it'll come down to Sheamus versus Orton. It'll come down to Daniel Bryan and CM Punk chance. It will come down to JBL chance. It will come down to Jerry the King Lawler and Macho Man
Possible.
Randy Savage
we'll
chance. No, it definitely.
No, not necessarily.
Down to those, yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, another reason that Randy Orton's such a great worker.
Not necessarily. We'll see.
But,
I mean, and we actually will see. We are going to watch it. So out of 10, your prediction for what you're going to give it?
Pain. 6.
Yeah, I'm thinking a 6.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going into this with a great deal of anticipation. The most important thing to me, like everybody else...
I'm going into this thinking that I can represent my nation, though.
I'm thinking, obviously, Shield versus Wyatt is the best thing on the show.
I have great expectations.
All right. Let's get out of here. Now, we mentioned last show how Podomatic is going away. It is. The iTunes feed is changing.
Yes.
We are working on that. We've seen some slight changes on the website because it's part of the rebuild. So, like, for instance, it's a little harder for you to get to the archives and stuff right now, but you will be able to get to them. Notice a change in the player. That's obviously because of the new website using thing. So all this different stuff. We are getting Airboom. What is this?
This is the list of all the tag team champions.
Holy fuck. But anyways, so you're noticing all this. Now, once again, like you say, Podomatic is going away. If you are on our iTunes feed, I'm warning you now with peace and love. After February 28th, the iTunes feed will be tossed. Peace and love, but we are too busy to maintain two websites. Anyways, you'll be able to resubscribe in about 24 to 48 hours to the new iTunes feed. Peace and love. I'm OUT.
Fuck you all. I don't even remember at this team the dashing ones. Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre.
I do.
God. There's the Hart Dynasty.
Yeah. Seriously, stop it.
Show Miz. Jarrah Show. Oh my God, the Colons. Look at Primo.
Oh, God.
Primo looks like Ron Jeremy there. The Major Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, email us at addie@wetalkwrestling.com. Of course, wetalkwrestling.com. Soon, the exclusive home to everything all needs, We Talk Wrestling.
I understand.
On Twitter, we're at wetalkwrestling.com. Well, I warned you, with peace and love. Peace and love.
Pizza?
Oh, I love pizza. Wow, I forgot about
Deuce and Domino.
Cherry was who I wanted to remember.
Chetty.
But yeah, London and Kendrick.
Look at Kendrick there.
Eminem.
I'm looking up Melina's skirt there.
Yeah. See if she has a cock.
Mm-hmm. Tony Fuhati and Rikishi. And the final picture.
The Guerreros.
The Guerreros.
Los Guerreros.
Wow.
All right, so anyways, yeah, peace and love. Addie, at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter.
Twitter.
Facebook is?
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling.
.com? No, wait, just
no.
Say it again next.
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling.
Oh, that's what I said.
As I said, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.
.com,
at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. And it says you talked about the iTunes changes that are coming.
The website and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, peace and love, peace and
right.
love.
So, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
I'd like to just let you know, with peace and love, that was a good show.
I'm going to rape you.